It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard, Tim Beckman's favorite fan from Indianapolis. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
We do random college sports nonsense, and that's part of the show. It's done. and so is his career, apparently. So, anyway, look it up. We have not one, but two very exciting guests in studio. Actually, it's kind of old school. It's kind of a return to home.
It's a flashback Friday.
Is that such a thing?
I think
like
it
throwback
is.
Thursday?
Yeah.
Does it mean we have to... Do we have to have pictures of us in studio in 2010?
We could.
No,
no,
we
but
really
those don't
shouldn't.
Exist.
No, because the show is better on radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody gave us money and we could do the video cam, so we could be as visually stunning as, you know, Dan Patrick or Dan Lebatard or Mike and Mike.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, but we don't have that, so we don't. Anyway,
sorry.
We have a very special guest on the line, alumni emeritus, I guess, of the IFJA. She will always be an IFJA member in our hearts. And do we have her intro ready?
Absolutely.
We haven't heard this in a while.
Soft, kitty, warm, kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr.
You just made the 13-year-old really angry playing that. Gina Wagner's on the phone. Hi, Gina.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
We can't see you, obviously, so we have to ask, is Dan in the spouse chair?
No, he's watching Magic World Championship streaming in his office.
Oh, I see. Well, it sounds like business as usual, so give him our best.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, I've been watching roller derby playoff live streaming all day in my room, so
and how's
we
that?
Both had sports to watch.
I'm glad you took time away from your sports to chat with old friends. So, how are things up in Michigan?
I love it.
Good. How are things in Michigan?
Things are great. I'm actually going to have a beach party today, and the weather turned out good. So I'm really excited. People are going to start showing up in another hour or so.
Wow. So we appreciate you taking time from marinating shrimp to come and chat with us.
No, we're doing pulled pork in the crock pot today.
Ooh, nice. I'm jealous already. Now, will there be bingo so you could have a beach blanket bingo?
No, but that would have been a good idea. Oh, man.
A Frankie and Annette-themed beach party. It's a lot of high-waisted bathing suits, so you know you can do that if you want. So actually, and how are things going at Haunted Flower?
Things are going pretty great at hauntedflower.com, where
What's
there
new?
Are lots of amazing T-shirts that people could buy for Christmas.
Hint, hint. I think we got the point across.
We have a lot of great licenses right now. We're getting a lot of exclusive colors in. Things are going good.
Cool.
Well, I was thinking of you, besides the fact that it's been a while, but I did see on your page, I believe, the new Archer/Danger Jones shirts. And and I've now gotten my daughter hooked on Archer. So I think I know what's on her Christmas wish list. So thanks for that.
Archery's pretty fun.
It is. I just now, I'm going to have to explain to Emma the popularity over Top Gun and Burt Reynolds because of that program.
Yep.
That's my plight, and I'm sticking with it. So I'm gonna let you review first, but because you actually saw something that neither one of us have, and quite honestly, neither one of us really wanted to. But you took one. You took one for the team, and you had popcorn with your seasonal ritual, and you watched Vacation. Why would you do that?
Well, because the movies that you went to see sounded really girly, and I just
better.
Didn't put myself through that.
So
actually, Dan was really interested in it since he saw the trailer. He was telling me about how the trailer like really made him laugh, and he thought it was actually going to be good. So we're like, all right, let's go check it out. And so we did. It was fun.
What made it fun?
Well, there are so many road trip movies out there, so many road trip comedies, and a lot of them feel recycled, you know, just really tired and like there isn't anything new to do anymore. But this one, I don't know, it felt pretty fresh. I liked the energy. I really liked the cast. The two kids playing the sons were really funny. The younger one was bullying the older brother throughout the whole movie, and he said the funniest things. It was ridiculous. And I like Ed Helms. He's a good guy, really upstanding dude in this movie. And there was just so many guest stars. All these people showed up to me in this movie. I was really shocked. And it seemed like every time someone came around the corner, you're like, oh, is that person from Always Sunny? Oh, they're from The Other Thing. And, oh, my gosh, there's a sequence with some whitewater rafting with Charlie Day from Always Sunny as the guide who just got dumped by his fiance. And they're playing... Oh, my gosh, what was the song? I don't know. It was a really sad breakup song over the slow motion rafting, and it was just the funniest sequence. I was just cracking up. I had a lot of fun with this movie. There's a lot of stuff that would never realistically happen. Like, if you get in a fight with another family, like a fist fight, you're probably not going to get to go on the roller coaster.
No,
that's probably not.
You know, stuff, you know, you just have to kind of suck it up, I guess, while you're watching.
Like the girl in the convertible getting smashed by a truck.
Yeah.
So
there was a scene that was supposed to be very, good for the female viewers.
Are we talking about Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, we're talking about a certain Thor.
Yes, and his hammer.
Well, this is what ended up happening. We were sharing a drink cup, and Dan just happened to finish it right before that scene started. So I was in the lobby while that scene was happening.
Uh-oh.
I think my husband's a pretty clever dude.
So you missed the whole Chris Hemsworth sequence, is what you're saying.
Basically, I came in just to see, like, the last second of it to see what was funny about it, and then he was out of the room.
Well, if you were anything like us, I'm sure you already Googled imaged it, and you're okay.
No. I passed on that.
Wow,
I'm good.
Mature. That's good. So how many jokes are does this film make reference to the original Vacation?
Not very many. I mean, there's that one sequence that was in the trailer where they talk about how this vacation is going to be very different from the other vacation.
Okay.
You know, they visit Audrey, who looks nothing like any other Audrey, but let's face it, the kids never look the
same. They're always interchangeable.
They mention Cousin Rusty at one point because they show up kind of dirty after an escapade gone wrong, and they're like, oh, we feel like Cousin Rusty's family. Huh. But other than that, like, they really... And of course, there's a cameo of Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of recurring jokes at all.
Okay.
Like, I barely remember the first Vacation. I don't think there were very many throwbacks. I mean, the only thing that was a little bit like, okay, you guys always do this, is driving next to a pretty girl in another vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It happened twice in this movie.
Sure.
So first we drive by a young girl, like a teenage girl, for the young teenage boy to look at, and that ends in a very funny, unpredictable way. And then there's, you know, later on, a different scene, a woman trying to flirt with Ed Helms. And that one also ends in an interesting way that I always thought should have happened, basically. I think if you're flirting with someone and not looking at the road, you're probably going to get struck by another vehicle.
And those are words to live by or die by, courtesy of Gina.
So don't flirt with your fellow motorist, everyone.
Good
safety
words.
First.
And you also have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Yeah.
Which we still use, and we need to send you a royalty check for like 8 cents every quarter, just because we love using that. All right.
I am very amused every time I hear it.
Well, thank you. So she enjoyed it, Kobe.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're not persuaded?
No. Well,
Ed Helms is your guy.
Yeah, I like Ed Helms, but I don't know. I didn't really get into the other vacation movies, Vacation, and I just don't care.
I grew up watching those, and I didn't care for them either.
Yeah.
So even the first. So well, kudos to you, Gina, for sticking up for that. I was thinking of you this week because I did put down my Xbox and my energy drinks, and I watched, and I put on a mature looking sweater in August. And I watched not one, but two really well-made films involving teenage girls, and I don't feel creeped out about it in the very least. So the first is, and I just saw this today, The Diary of a Teenage Girl. This is the one that stars Belle Powley, Alexander Skarsgård, and Kristen Wiig. It's set in San Francisco in the 1970s, and it's basically based on a book, which I don't know about, but I'm sure I'm going to find out more after I got to see this. But it's a young girl's journey into sexuality. Now, it doesn't help that it starts with her mother's boyfriend, played by Skarsgård. And it kind of goes and doesn't really pull any punches as far as the good and the bad of what happens when a 15, 16-year-old starts to blossom in this set. Wiig is very very entertaining as the not really your conventional 70 mother who's obsessed with cocaine, partying, and Patty Hearst, and even says to her own daughter, you need to show your body off more. Of course, that's bad foreshadowing for the end of the picture, but I was impressed with how much joy and how much pain that they showed for this young girl who I looked her up and has done some TV work and a couple films I'm not familiar with, but she's really solid. I mean, it kind of reminded me of Ellen Page in Juno, minus that snappy dialogue. But I was really impressed with how far they took it. I mean, it's a pretty bold move to explore a girl going through this time in her life. I also think if they set this in today's film, if they put it in a modern setting, suburban America would be up in arms. But because it's the 70s and it's San Francisco, and Kobe, you know, the 1970s were?
Different time.
Much different time. So
San Francisco, different place.
Definitely different place. Even today. So that is out there. That is worth checking out. And the other one is Mistress America by the latest from Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig. And it's about a mother. Well, a man and a woman are getting married. Her daughter and his daughter wind up meeting in New York City. The girl, played by Lola Kirk, who I remember seeing in Gone Girl, plays a freshman in college and is not really finding her niche in the world, especially in the college environment. And she's going to meet her soon-to-be, I guess, stepsister, who's a 30-year-old entrepreneur played by Greta Gerwig. And first, it seems like it's a girl bonding moment, and then a young girl learning life lessons from the older girl moment. And as the film goes on, we find out that the mentor is just a big hot mess, and leads to a very screwball comedy-esque encounter at a house trying to get her. Greta's goal is to get a restaurant up and started, and she needs the money for it, and it requires going back to an old boyfriend and the boyfriend's current wife. And screwball chicanery occurs, Kobe. It's yeah. So anyway, but really nice relationship between the two. And if this was a studio picture, Greta Gerwig I think would be replaced by Drew Barrymore. But fortunately, it's not. It's Gerwig, and I really enjoy her work in this. Have you seen, Gina, some of Noah Baumbach's work?
I don't know.
Frances Ha, Greenberg. let's see, kicking and the original Kicking and Screaming, not the Will Ferrell soccer movie.
I do not think I've seen those.
Okay, well, you add them to your list because you know I always throw old odd titles at you. So there you go.
Okay.
So Gina, shifting gears a little bit, how are things with the roller derby?
Oh, man. I've got a really fun team. I'm on the Small Town Outlaws now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're so sweet. We're in Kalkaska, Michigan. We wear, like, silver glitter on our helmets and stuff. It's a really fun team.
Cool.
And when's your next match?
I have to play against Traverse City in Cadillac on September 19th.
And how is the Northern Michigan roller derby as opposed to the Central Indiana roller derby?
Well, it's a little different further up north as far as you don't have as many refs. So as soon as you go to play downstate somewhere, you usually find out that you've got some habits that cause a lot of penalties. And then it doesn't go so well. But, you know, we do what we can with what we have. We're all kind of spread out up here. I travel about an hour each way to go to practice, and that's not too unusual.
Well, it's not unusual to be loved by anyone. Terrible.
Was that
red clay bad?
No, that was worse.
Nothing is worse than red clay. Cool. Well, Gina, once again, tell folks what they can check out at hauntedflower.com.
We have all the best licensed apparel, pretty much all the really awesome t-shirts from TV shows, movies, video games. All the good stuff.
Little of this, a little of that.
Yeah.
Joe Shearer on the
line? Coming.
Is Joe Shearer doing your ad campaign?
It's a little of this, a little of that.
What new items do you have?
Well, we've got a lot of Game of Thrones shirts right now. Mm-hmm. We have some new Big Lebowski, which I know you guys love.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A funny thing this year ended up being cat t-shirts. Like,
I'm looking at the...
That's like a Kraken attacking a ship.
I am looking at that right now.
We've got like a cat that's being King Kong up on a building.
Wait, what? A cat dressed
as... Yeah, we've got some cat shirts.
There is a section for cat lovers and for dog lovers.
Oh my God! Emma's gonna want these, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Ah, shoot.
We also ended up getting a few designs that were very patriotic this year. We had some presidents, so there's one that's Abe Lincoln with an automatic weapon and a grizzly bear and holding the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's because you live in Michigan. You need to sell those.
There you go, patriotism.
And we've also got Reagan with a velociraptor.
Yeah.
And Clinton with, I think, an alligator and also another automatic weapon.
Yeah.
So we've got some tough presidential shirts here.
And Clinton's got a saxophone.
Going into,
too.
Election season next year.
That is
Where
awesome.
Did you find, what company has these?
It's actually the Mountain. They have the cat shirts and the president shirts.
Okay,
so. They're pretty silly.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to hauntedflowers.com to see these. We're not making these up.
Nope.
Not at all.
They really exist. These are real shirts.
And they're terrific.
It's terrific.
They're terrific. Real shirt. You can wear them.
So Jeannie, what do you think you're going to go see next? What do you think you and Dan will go see next?
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, I'm excited for Star Wars later in the year.
Right.
But one I'm really excited about coming up sooner is Everest. I really, really need to see Everest. The trailer gives me chills. I have listened to the audiobook of Into Thin Air probably 6 times. I've listened to like 2 other audiobooks about Everest. I'm really just, can't wait to see this movie. It's going to be crazy.
So you've been watching Vertical Limit to get yourself ready for it?
No, not exactly. But I did watch a documentary on K2.
Oh, very good. Very good. And please tell me you still have your popcorn ritual.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the theaters up here don't have the shakers. They just have the standard butter ones. So, and I haven't been able to get my ones to bring in as easily anymore. But yeah, we're still kind of picky about our snacks. There's 2 movie theaters. There's the mall and the not mall, and that's how we differentiate them.
Thank you.
And we like going to the not mall because there's less people there, and it's really easy
to
go into a matinee and not have any company.
Uh-huh.
But then the people there are kind of rude, and if you want a refill, you can't find anybody. Oh, so now we're going to the mall a lot more because their popcorn is better, and they're a lot more excited to get your refills and try to sell you candy bars while you're getting your drink refill.
That's important.
Who's
going to buy
a candy bar while they're getting the drink refill? I do not know. You have to get back to the movie. But, hey, they're trying.
Exactly.
When you need those things, you need service.
True. So the other thing, I don't know if you heard, but Regal Cinemas are going to be are now searching bags. And now the main thing, of course, is because of safety. I just want to make sure you don't get in trouble for, you know, illegal seasoning contraband.
Yeah, I just haven't bothered in a long time. I'm just going with the butter, salt now.
What if we,
I'm getting old. I'm not trying this hard.
Times are hard, man.
The times, they are changing, so. Well, Gina, we really, really appreciate your time. It's good to catch up with you. And, by the way, I forgot that. So the screening I was at today, I was the only person there at 11:40 for a screening. It happens. What was the last film that you went to that you were the only one in the theater?
Well, actually, yesterday, when we went to see Vacation, it was just me and Dan. Then one other person finally came in.
Okay.
But yeah, that was definitely the most obvious in recent memory.
Okay. And that one's been out a while, so I can understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Gina, thank you so much for your time. Give Dan our best, and I'm sure we'll be in touch one way or another, or Emma will have me get in touch with you one way or another.
Okay, and let me know what she thinks of all the Mission Impossible movies, because I like Mission Impossible 5 a lot.
Oh, we did. I enjoyed it very much. Actually, I took Lynn and Emma. It was both of their first Mission Impossible films, and Emma really wants to see all the others now. But yeah, we had a good time. The man hung on to
You know what's great about those movies is that they're doing cool stuff, like, all the time. Really important.
You have a limited amount of time. Be cool. That man hung onto a plane for your entertainment.
That was pretty cool.
That was,
he did that for me.
Yes.
I was really honored.
Yeah, he's screaming. He's screaming, this one's for Gina.
I had a feeling it was for me. I felt really special in that moment.
Just don't go into the Scientology pit, please. That's all we ask.
No. See, this is how my brain works. Tom Cruise in real life and Tom Cruise in movies are two completely different people.
What a noble...
When Tom Cruise is on the big screen, he's doing awesome Tom Cruise things. Like somehow freeing himself, jumping up a pole, and holding onto a plane and stuff. That's Tom Cruise in movies, and it's awesome all the time. Tom Cruise in real life, I just try to not hear anything about. It's not real. It doesn't happen. That person does not exist at all. The only one I know is the one in movies. It's going to stay that way forever.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Untainted.
Ladies and gentlemen, acting. Here you go.
See?
Cool. All right, Gina, thanks. Appreciate it. We appreciate your time, Gina. Take care.
You too.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. It's Gina Wagner of WantedFlower.com. She remembers her old bits. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool. Do we have that?
Yeah.
Play that. And where's her other intro? She has two.
Yeah, she's got
She's
two.
That important.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
There you go. Be cool.
Oh, do you want to hear my review of Dreamhouse?
Yes.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good to talk to Gina out there. And I had mature movies. Okay, you know, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back after the break, we will talk about some other films that are on DVD and Blu-ray. We have drive-in news, drive-in information. Also, there's a drive-in event involving our next guest, so stick around. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Look at us having guests on both sides of the break.
I know, right?
It's like a real show.
It's terrific.
either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HC To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. I'm here hanging out with Kobe Slega. We once again, thanks Gina Wagner for coming on for the first half of the program. And I blew it. I forgot that Gina Wagner is also, she was, Film Sociology's Bradley Cooper correspondent.
Oh, yes.
Because his latest film is now out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. So I guess we'll have to save that for another time. But I'll get to the DVD titles in a little bit. I know the audio is misleading, but we need to play. Where else can you hear Clerks, Tyler Hansborough, and Wesley Willis? But
nowhere that I know of.
Yes, right here on public radio. But we said it's old school week. What did you say? Flashback
it's
Friday.
It's Flashback Friday.
For those on social media. Joining us in studio, the alumni emeritus, the original producer of Film Sociology is here with us, and you've heard her on the radio on WFYI, but Melissa Davis is here. Hello, dear.
Hi.
How are
Thanks.
You?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me come on.
Absolutely. Now, last week, we previewed, Kobe, we're shifting everything around today.
Yes.
We're not talking about DVD and Blu-ray titles just yet, but Kobe, of course, is in charge for talking about what's happening at his alma mater, as well as the drive-in scene. Mm-hmm. So, and part of the reason why Melissa's here, because besides the fact that we love having her here, but there is a major event going on this weekend at the Skyline in Shelbyville. So what's happening drive-in-wise? We'll start with that.
It's a movie monster weekend.
At the Skyline.
At the Skyline.
Yes.
Not just tonight, but tomorrow as well. Tonight, Friday night, we have a quintuple feature.
That's a five.
That is five movies.
That's a quintet. That's a pentagon.
8:45, Mighty Joe Young from 1949.
Thank you. Not the bad remake with Charlize Theron and Bill Paxton.
Followed by 11, The Curse of the Werewolf from 1961.
That is the Oliver Reed Hammer horror picture. That's very good. That's been on Spengooly a couple of times. Always good.
12:45 a.m., Island of Lost Souls from 1932.
Ooh. Where else are you going to see that? But here in Shelbyville. Well, there in Shelbyville.
Here and there.
And everywhere.
At 2:15 in the morning.
For you hardcore hitters.
This is film number four from 1955, Tarantula.
Nice.
Crawling Terror 100 Feet High.
You're
gonna miss that one.
Well, you're not a scary movie guy, Cobe.
No, not at all.
No.
And then 1972. This is at 4 a.m.
Oh my god.
4 a.m., folks.
Rounding out the night.
For the hardcore crowd.
From 1972, Horror Express.
Ah, Christopher Lee, Telly Savalas.
Yes.
Yep. Peter Cushing, I believe, is also in that. Yes. So, and that is a film that you can also get on DVD courtesy of Sammy Terry, who was on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, wow, that's a five film.
That's just tonight.
That's just tonight. So, you know, if you don't have plans tonight, well, change them because you should be in Shelbyville for this. What is happening tomorrow night?
August 29th, starting at 8:45 from 1933, King Kong.
Very good.
11:15, An American Werewolf in London from 1981.
Very good, John Landis. Rick Baker won an Oscar for the makeup design on that.
1 a.m. Sunday morning, The Abominable Snowman from 1957.
Very good.
2:45 a.m.,
God.
The War of the Gargantuas from 1966.
Nice.
And then again, 4:15 a.m., This is Sunday morning, 4:15 a.m., From 1958, Teenage Monster.
Oh, wow.
And then you can go to church.
Yeah.
Take me to church.
Nice.
Wow. That is a weekend in Shelbyville.
Yeah.
Man. And anything going on Sunday, or is that a so-called day of rest?
That's it.
Wow. That's, well, I guess that's enough, really. That is a lot of monsters. So now the reason why Melissa's here is because her band is going to be performing this weekend at the Skyline. So tell us about, because I've noticed this over the last few months, of course, on the Blue Show, there have been some friends of mine, some acts that have been playing there. They've had live music there quite often. So tell us about the music that's happening at the Skyline.
Yes. The way it works, the Skyline is a really huge venue, obviously. It's a drive, because it's a drive-in. But the music stage is in a different part of the theater, well, the grounds.
Right.
The theater is, you know, the screen is near the front. And then in the back, they've created a stage. It's a really nice stage, actually. It's huge. And there's a little screen behind it. And I think sometimes they screen movies back there as well. But it's just off from where the main screen is. So we're back doing music at a different part of the grounds. And they've had a few festivals like this. I think a couple weekends ago, they had a skateboard festival. And they played Lords of Dogtown and some skate movies. And then this weekend, that's what they're doing, monster movie, and then some kind of creepy fun bands, and they're having burlesque on Saturday. So
wow,
it's gonna be fun. Yeah.
And tell us about your group.
Oh yeah, well, my band is called Werewolf with a Shotgun. And I think we get booked on our name sometimes.
No.
What,
but you didn't get any nasty notes from Rutger Hauer and the Hobo with a Shotgun people?
No one said anything.
All right,
everyone
that's
has
good.
Been very, yes, very welcoming and cool and not suing us for anything, which is good. For appropriate.
It's nice to not be sued.
Yeah. Yes, we don't like that. But we're going to be playing, I think, at like 4, and there are going to be other bands
PM.
As well. Yes, 4 p.m., not 4 a.m.
We had 4 a.m. news earlier.
No,
so just,
can't do it. We can't do it. Not that early. But yeah, we'll be there about 4 o'clock. I think the music starts around 1 o'clock, and then that should end around 7 and 7:30, 8, and then right then the movie starts. So
what do you guys play?
We play sort of a punk, goth, rock, alternative kind of music. And it's just, it's silly. And I have a song about an armadillo. We have songs about wolves. It's just, but then also just normal, like, confessional songs, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's just fun, though.
Do you spin in a circle and wear shawls and scarves?
No, I am not going to be a copycat of my idol Stevie, no.
No, you can't imitate Stevie.
No, no, no. I try to do my own thing.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. It's just a fun thing to do.
Now, is the burlesque group, is this something because I know you MC burlesque.
Used to MC
time
back
time.
In the
okay,
day.
Right.
Yeah, no, this is Rocket Dolls Review. They're awesome, and they're going to be performing as well. So yeah, it'll be. I think the burlesque is happening later in the evening.
You would think so. I don't know any mid afternoon burlesque shows really.
I think it's going to be around. I think it's between a few of the monster movies.
Okay,
so they'll do that again in that stage. You know, towards the back of the ground.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be a fun night.
If you're not into something like Tarantula, Kobe, you could always go over to the stage and check out some of the music that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. So what are some of the other groups that are playing? Do we know?
You know what? I wish that I knew, and I should know that. I just know the movies. I know
because
I'm excited about King Kong. But there are, I think, several other bands. I know for sure the Rocket Dolls. You know what? I do know. The Tsunamis mm-hmm. from Bloomington, all-girl rockabilly group. They're awesome.
Oh, cool.
And I know they're going to be there. And the fact that I'm forgetting the other bands is just me being forgetful.
Kobe, is it up on the Skyline website?
I'll look real quick.
Would you check that, please?
If you go to Facebook and then search for Monster Movie Fest, it should pop up right away. And I know for sure the Tsunamis will be there. Oh, you know what? I think I have Bizarre Noir will be there. Bizarre Noir. And they do an awesome stage show. They have a guy in a horse mask. Things get crazy. The lead singer is very cool and creepy and fun. And it'll be, you have a lot of really cool, you know, showmanship bands out there. So, yeah, bands with lots of
charisma.
Yes.
Sparkles.
Sparkles. It sparkles. Is that sparkle? Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's going to be fun.
It sounds like it's going to be a really, really fun, busy weekend in Shelbyville for that.
I'm so glad that this kind of stuff exists in Shelbyville, and there's something really fun to do for everybody. And Shelbyville's been a very welcoming environment for us and for live music and kind of alt arts, so it's really cool.
Yeah, especially, the drive-in. I mean, one of the things that we were immediately impressed with the Skyline is they'll do, normally, they won't do it this weekend, but normally they will do, like, you know, your standard double feature drive-in fare, and then they will pick, like, at 1 a.m., they'll pick some old, obscure, I mean, stuff, titles I didn't even know existed, so, which means somebody around here had a print, and they will play that. And I think that's kind of a really cool old school feel. And this one as well, because, you know, at one time back in the 50s and 60s, I'm sure there were a lot of bands that played at drive-ins, at roller rinks, you know, at soda shops. You know, there were no venues, no traditional music hall venues.
Yeah, I would hear about people playing at the roller rink all the time, you know, having
Have you ever played at a roller rink?
I haven't, but I'd love to. That'd be great. I mean, I would totally go roller skating. I love roller skating. So
no, we've never done roller skating.
That'd be awesome. Trying to think of the weirdest place that I've played, or I don't know. Gosh, it's in so many.
I know some of the weirdest people you've played with. We call them coworkers.
Oh yeah, we had a band. Oh yeah, Kobe was in the band. I forget everything.
What a setup.
Kobe was in that
band. We had what? So Kobe, yeah, Sylvia McNair and Melissa. That's pretty much the gambit of
Kobe
Kobe's.
Played the what did you? Congas?
I had my congas and timbales that night. I was the percussionist.
Yeah,
you were the Santana portion of the band.
We played. We were called the Diane Rehm and the Cheap Drink.
Yes.
And we played at Radio as part of the media bands, and we didn't win, of course. And then Ben Traub like took over the microphone and was like, "This is a travesty," which was really funny. So yeah, it was good times. It was Cedric. I was in it. Roxiana, Kobe,
Tony. You guys,
Tony, yeah, Tony.
It was a public radio version of the Commitments. It truly was.
It was fun. It was good times.
That was cool.
Good times.
So and wait, you said you were excited about seeing King Kong. Have you seen King Kong before? Or no,
never the entire movie all at once. Of course, okay. You see snippets and just
you know the
years.
You know certain
yeah,
scenes.
You know what's up. But I have never sat through the entire movie, and I would really like to see that. I also heard an American Werewolf in London is good, so maybe I'll stay for that.
I was 11 when I saw that in the theaters.
Aww.
So thanks. Yeah.
Aww.
It was also a large cable staple in the early incarnations of HBO. It was on a lot. Well, it was, you know, it's John Landis. So this is a guy that directed The Blues Brothers and Animal House, and there is a lot of humor in it. And I think blatant. And this is before, you know, Freddy Krueger would have a quippy one line like he's in a Bond movie before slashing somebody to bits. I mean, there's a recurring bit with Griffin Dunne, who plays the best friend who's mauled, and he keeps popping up, which happens from, you know, when the ghost of a friend keeps haunting you. But as he keeps appearing, his body is decomposing more and more and more. So. But no, I'll be excited to see what you think of actually both pictures. But yeah, there is a certain amount of humor in American Werewolf in London, but there's also some really cool visual effects as far as makeup and transformations.
Cool. Jim Mueller gave me some tips and some information about American Werewolf in London.
Did he?
So the lead star, the
David
male
Naughton.
Star. So I guess he was in a Dr. Pepper commercial.
He was a huge dancing, prancing Pepper commercial.
I
yes,
didn't
he
know
was.
This.
Oh, yeah.
And then because he ran naked in the movie, his career was kind of over for a while.
Yeah, it's hard to top running naked through London.
But if you're a werewolf, you're going to have to. I mean, that's where you'd end up.
Yeah, but you never saw Lon Chaney's junk running around or Oliver Reed's in Curse of the Werewolf, although I'm sure he was willing
when
he was alive.
A werewolf doesn't care about clothes. I mean, they're being true to the story. A werewolf is about being a werewolf, you know? I don't know. They just want
you'd
to
have
go
done
bite
well
people.
In front of the MPAA with that argument. It's not
it
about
like
this.
It was a different time in the early 80s.
It was a different. Early 80s, Kobe?
Whoa.
Not
different
born.
Time.
Different time. Slightly better in the 70s.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Not alive yet in the early 80s.
No,
but Jim Mueller gave me all those good tips. So he said that that's actually a really good movie.
It is
so
a very good movie. It is. And you'll get to see Jenny Agutter, who I've now mentioned. She plays the nurse. You'll see why.
Oh, okay.
But we were mentioning her last week because Chris Lloyd had reviewed Walkabout. And Jenny has a very special place in men's hearts from the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
And you will see why.
Okay.
So, well, that's cool. So once again, what time are you playing? What time are the werewolves playing?
We'll probably play around 4 o'clock. It's a little loosey-goosey, but probably around four. And then the other bands, The Tsunamis, Bizarre Noir. I think there's one more. And if I'm forgetting, I'm so sorry. But this is a really great lineup of music. The Tsunamis are awesome. They're from Bloomington. And when we found out we were playing with them, I was really excited. And when I get in here, I draw a blank because I forget everything.
it's only a quiz. I mean, you're not getting graded.
I'm just used to saying, like, when I'm on the air with you and we're talking informally, I'm used to going 800, 23. 93.
Yeah, it's kind of NPR Tourette's. Now. Yeah.
So that's what I'm used to doing. No, it'll be a really, really fun night of music. Bizarre Noir, they're crazy on stage, super, super fun. They all do all kinds of weird, great stuff. And the music is good as well. And Rocket Dolls are amazing. They bring it to every single performance. So
cool.
It's going to be good. Brandon Yates is booking bands out there. It's cool to see people in Shelbyville and just in any town involving the local music scene.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have much of an all ages scene around here. It's
no, we don't. Mm-hmm. And those that do, well, yeah.
We're trying. Everyone's trying. I know it's good to see an all ages venue existing. And last time we were there at Tony's band, there were so many kids, and that was really, really cool to see.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Cole, do we have a lineup on the Facebook page?
All I'm seeing. Oh, I'm not checking. I looked at the Skyline page. I'm seeing Bizarre Noir, Tsunamis, and
we are computer searching live action excitement.
Yeah.
This is right up there with our production meetings during the show.
I think that those are, yeah, all the bands. So these
is that it?
Noir.
By the way, tonight, Kobe, I swear I will give you money for fantasy football.
I think they're having music tonight, too, as far as I know, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But
so you should go out. You should go out to Shelbyville anyway, because that's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. Well, I want to shift gears for a little bit. Kobe, do we have the Tibbs up?
Yes, we do.
What's happening over at the Tibbs? Actually, I always ask this with my guest, Melissa, and so you're now one of those. What's the strangest drive-in pairing you've ever encountered? Because we discuss this, because every now and then, you know, you'll get two action movies or two animated films or two horror films. I mean, that's kind of, but sometimes you just get a really weird pairing. You're like, what? So
I feel like we might have one of those here.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so we'll have an example. So what's happening at the Tibbs?
So we have Sinister 2 and The Gift.
Okay, two suspense and horror movies, sure. Yeah, I still want to see The Gift.
Agent 47 and The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Two action films, all right, yeah. Well, Suits and Guns, sure.
Yeah, here we go. No Escape and Southpaw.
One's an action movie, although I still laugh because, first off, an action movie starring Owen Wilson and Lake Bell, and I, of course, want to see how the children are. You can see the children because there is a scene where one of the parents is throwing a child over from the edge of one building to another building in order to escape the no escape. Southpaw, that's a boxing drama, but it's not really an action movie. But there is action in it because it's boxing. But that's an odd pairing.
Not maybe totally out there, but
not totally out there. And by the way, I guess it's that time of the decade where Owen Wilson has to star in an action film.
I guess.
Who asked for this? Did you ask for this?
I don't know.
Did you ask for this?
The kids.
The kids? Really? Our kids?
The children.
No.
I don't know.
Really? Because I remember having the review Behind Enemy Lines on Fox. I went, really? We love you, Owen, but I hope you got a big check for this. I'm sure this makes up for the smaller amounts of money he does with Wes Anderson pictures, but sure, why not? Okay.
And then lastly on screen for American Ultra and Vacation.
Yeah, I guess. Obnoxious action movie and apparently an obnoxious comedy that Gina likes. So that's out there. Okay.
And are you sent? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to. I went to the drive-in way back in the day in Elkhart when they still had it.
So yes.
This was like in the late 80s. I was a little kid. They were playing Children of the Corn.
The original Children of the Corn.
Yeah. Well, the second one, I think. And
okay.
It was super scary. It was still scary and awful for a little kid. And then on the other screen, it was some kind of Disney film.
No, wait. But they weren't. Was it two separate screens?
Yes. They had
okay,
two separate.
That's
is that
fine.
Okay?
Yes, that's fine. Oh. But if you have two scary movies here. But if you had those on the same screen, that would be bad.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you go to like the rated G movie, and
then
they
you
the
look
rated
over,
R movie,
and there's,
and you can watch Children of the Corn, and my stepbrother at the time kept saying, look at it now, and be the worst part. I was like,
That's what brothers and stepbrothers do.
Right?
They scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Disney movie?
I wish so much that I could remember.
89? Wait a minute. Late 80s. It could have been Little Mermaid or Oliver and Company.
I don't remember.
No, Beauty and the Beast was early 90s.
I wish. Okay, I'm thinking Rain Man, but there's no way. And that's not it. I know it's not. That's not an animated.
That's not animated.
There's something that was like a kid-friendly movie that we were watching on the other screen, and then my stepbrother kept watching.
But you remember the trauma thing of Children of the Corn 2.
It was very terrifying.
Or whatever that one was. Yeah, they made several Children of the Corn. I didn't ask for those.
No.
I didn't really ask for. And the first one, of course, was knee deep in, you know, Stephen King could have, he had a grocery list that he wrote, optioned, and made into a film. You know, it was like.
Is it scary?
It's no. It's Linda Hamilton and Peter Horton, and they get stuck. And no, I don't think it's all that scary at all.
So the original Children of the Corn is not scary.
I don't think it's scary.
Because I remember in the 80s hearing.
There's like six or seven sequels. Awful. Yeah. I think part of it is because it is children who are the antagonists.
Oh.
So I think that probably disturbs some folk.
Wow. Stephen King does that quite a bit, like making kids crazy. And then,
yeah, he does. Yeah.
So scary. We don't.
Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Yeah,
it's the 80s.
He's super scary.
And dogs are scary. And
yeah,
cars are
things
scary.
Things that are supposed to be nice.
And Jack Nicholson
sweet.
Is scary.
Well, he's scary. He's scary all the time. He's a little creepy.
And Kathy Bates is scary.
Yeah, she is scary. Gosh, what an actress. But really?
Isn't she amazing?
Holy cow. I was watching the one where she's like the huge fan of the. I should know these things. That she's the fan of the author.
Yeah, Misery.
Misery.
Yeah, that's Misery.
We're watching Misery. I was watching Misery with Tony, my husband. Holy cow. I'm just like, she is awful. Like, I mean, awful in that she's amazing and super, super scary and terrible. She's a great actress.
And won Best Actress for that.
She should, yeah.
And okay. So it was, I always, because Lynn and I talk about, because, you know, Kathy Bates she's a working actress. Mm-hmm. Is she a movie? She's not a traditional movie star in the sense, which I love.
Right, right.
But you know, she was a classically trained stage actress, did a lot of stuff in New York and, you know, had small parts building up to that. And then she's been working pretty much nonstop ever since.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so it's funny. I know she's a part of American Horror Story.
Oh.
That
okay.
series. I know okay. she was on that for a while. Not sure if she still is either. But anyway, constantly working, always working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always dig that about her very much.
So good.
In fact, and now I just read that they are staging, they're doing a stage version of Misery with Bruce Willis.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I can't remember who plays the Annie Wilkes character. We'll have to look that up. But Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
Tonight at 6:30, we have Jellyfish Eyes from 2013
uh-huh.
in the International Art House series. Then at 9:30 from 1981, in the inimitable and incomparable John Waters series, Polyester.
Oh.
That'd be fun.
Have you seen Polyester?
No, I need to watch it all the way through.
All the way? Oh, you haven't gotten
far. I was like bits and pieces, but yeah.
Do you know Mr. Waters' early
yeah.
work? I figured
Mr.
you
Waters?
Would. You'd be,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, Pink Flamingos, yeah. Polyester.
Awesome.
Yeah, good. Hairspray, the original Hairspray, Desperate Living. I had a friend in college who named his column Desperate Living because of John Waters.
Oh.
So, yeah, you got to see Polyester.
And then at midnight, they have a midnight movie series, but it is sold out tonight, and it is The Big Lebowski.
Oh, well, you have to go to that.
Oh, Matt, that reminds me. I still owe you that DVD. That is so terrible of me. I've had it for like 2 years now. I've
yeah,
had
I
Matt's
guess,
Big Lebowski.
Now that it's on the air, yeah, you do, actually.
I do. It's terrible.
And do you still have the commitments?
No, I gave the commitments
you
back
did give
to
me,
you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Kobe, you still have my movies.
Yes.
Your wife's talked to you about
couple
that.
Of them. Yes, I have them in my office.
Sorry, Matt.
Saturday, the 29th at 3 o'clock, The Goonies at IU Cinema. And
oh,
then at 7
yay.
O'clock, Jellyfish Eyes again.
We had a coworker that had a framed poster of The Goonies in her office.
Mm-hmm.
I never got into it. Maybe
no.
I need to watch
really?
It again. No, I never
oh,
did.
The story of hope and redemption.
Whatever. And young Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
And then tonight wraps up the IMA's Summer Night film series with Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Another film I need to review because I'm old enough now. I remember somebody writing a story who said, now that he's a grown-up and a parent, that Ferris Bueller was kind of a D-bag.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch that and see if that's true.
That cheeky kid won't go to school.
Now that
his
doesn't
poor parents.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean – that does not necessarily mean I side with Jeffrey Jones. The more you look him up, the better. But, yeah, I'm kind of curious about looking at that again.
So that wraps up. I'm looking ahead here on the IMA's
sure, of course.
Schedule. But Ferris Bueller's Day Off is tonight and tomorrow. So doing two showings of it. But then looking ahead to November.
Yes.
At the IMA, at the Toby Theater.
Uh-huh. In November.
Emma is totally here, and Bianca and I might be as well.
Uh-oh.
Internet Cat Video Festival.
What?
Oh, my God, yes. They are doing that again.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a series of short films and YouTube clips involving cats.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yes.
That'd be so much fun.
It'd be like that woman on the dating website, whether it was real or not, and thinking about all the cats in the world that
just
she cannot
thinking
pet.
Thinking about cats again.
Again, it's like our buddy Steven in The Greatest Freakout Ever. It's fabricated, but it's a splendid performance because
yep.
we know kids who are exactly like that. You know, I've had to do this twice in the last week. Apparently those videos have resurfaced, but they showed the one, Kobe, of when he gets the torn down truck
mm-hmm.
and he takes a bat to it. And, of course, people I know on Facebook are like, if that was my kid, that's terrible. He's a brat. If that was my kid, I'd take a belt to him. I'm like, this is a series. It's fabricated. I understand how realistic it looks, but it's actually a series.
It's not real.
Sorry. We know these kids, but yeah, you're not going to take a belt to this kid because he's acting. So there.
Yeah.
How are we on time? We doing all right?
Yeah, we're okay.
is Back to the Future going to be at the IMA?
Yes.
Isn't that coming up?
Back to the Future double feature coming up.
You're right there.
I love that movie.
Let me back here and find this.
I love that movie so much. They're doing it at the IMA the day that they were supposed to go to 2015.
Right.
So when they set the time machine.
Yeah.
Or the
Wednesday, October 21st.
Oh,
double
so
feature.
Good.
Wow. Because I know, yeah, they showed it. They showed the second film at midnight
mm-hmm.
this past summer.
At Landmark.
Of course, I didn't see that because we were too busy seeing Roar. Oh my gosh. So... okay, so I'm gonna get through a couple of the DVD Blu-ray titles, and then I have a dead person we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. Oh, we got time. All right, good. Okay, I was mentioning earlier of Gina being the Bradley Cooper correspondent, and I felt bad because I should have asked her if she saw or if she could defend the film Aloha, which is now out, the latest from Cameron Crowe. The latest Cameron Crowe film where a handsome loser gets a second chance at redemption. And this time it's Bradley Cooper, who's a disgraced military contractor who returns to Hawaii to work on a project. And, of course, he comes across his ex-lover, played by Rachel McAdams. And he's teamed up with a by-the-books soldier, played by Emma Stone. And, of course, she got a lot of flack because her character is supposed to be part Hawaiian.
Right.
And she's so not Hawaiian.
Mm.
And you have a really good cast of those people, John Krasinski, Danny McBride, Bill Murray, Alec Baldwin, in a really blah story. And, I mean, I defended Cameron Crowe's Elizabethtown, and we've already seen Jerry Maguire. And it's not just Cameron Crowe making the good-looking losers get redemption stories, but this one is just blah across the board, and it apparently one of the bigger flops of 2015. And I read some stories about the making of it and the distribution problems. And
this is pretty much the worst video ever made.
It's not the worst video ever made. It's just really disappointing. So that is out there. Also out there, and I watched this yesterday, Big Game. Big disappointment. This is the one, Kobe. Samuel L. Jackson finally plays the president of the United States.
Cool.
And he, his plane, Air Force One, is put under attack, and his escape pod, which looks a lot like the one in Star Wars, lands in the middle of the Finnish mountains. And
this is the little boy.
The little boy,
yeah.
So we have a Finnish boy hunter who's doing his kind of walkabout, his rite of passage, and he discovers the pod.
It's dumb.
It's slightly dumb. It could have been a lot better. It could have been a lot more, because what happens is these two, of course, team up, and the young boy is kind of taking the lead. I have to give Jackson credit. There's some nice scenes with Jackson and the Finnish actor. And Jackson actually downplays it. He does not play President Badass. He's actually not the most athletic person in the world. He doesn't know how to fire a gun, because there's also there's the part of trying to rescue the president, and that looked like it was shot in the big boardroom. It looked like it was shot in 2 days, because you had Victor Garber, Felicity Huffman, and Academy Award winner Jim Broadbent with very little to do. And guess what? There's a major plot twist, because when you hire big name actors and it looks like they're not doing anything, something's going to happen to one of the characters in the last 5 minutes of the film. Big surprise. But there's also, we find out that the plane is under attack because somebody in the Secret Service, the president's right-hand man, has betrayed him. He's betrayed him. I'm fed up with this world. So, of course, it's the Secret Service agent who's in cahoots with a terrorist that, Thank you. Who is in cahoots to want to capture the president. If it was just a film of a president and a Finnish kid traipsing and trying to survive through the woods, that would have been more interesting than terrorists and trying to rescue the president and just a generic action movie. It was really disappointing. You have anything else there?
No. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Kobe's having fun with audio.
Who is that?
That's Mike Gundy, the coach, the I'm a man, I'm 40.
Oh, okay.
Oh yes, we love Mike Gundy.
That's
here.
Good.
Let's see, also out on Blu-ray, the Academy Award-winning documentary Citizen 4 about Edward Snowden. Very gripping, worth checking out. And Criterion has put out the Blu-ray of the film 2 Days, One Night, the Academy Award-nominated performance from Marion Cotillard.
It's also an art film.
It is an art film for once. Thank you. Well done. But she plays, of course, this is the woman from Inception. She won the Oscar for La Vie en Rose, but she plays a worker, and I wish all workers look like Marion Cotillard. I'm a pig. But she's trying to save her job by having her fellow co-workers vote in favor of a reduction in pay so she can keep her job. Now, on paper, not the most exciting, but really nice performance from Cotillard and really nice dynamics with having to go door to door and beg for her life, basically.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
No, it's better than that. Also, old titles out on Blu-ray. The first real noted drama from Robin Williams, The World According to Garp. Angel Heart, the thriller with Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro and a naked Lisa Bonet. Very subtle. Is subtle as a hammer, but still fun to watch from director Alan Parker. The Last American Virgin, which I always remember, it looks like a, you know, teenagers looking for sex comedy, but the ending, without giving it away, it's a real kick in the chest. And they play James Ingram ballads, and it's really sad and depressing, even though it's pushed like another Porky's or Animal House or all that. Criterion has put out on Blu-ray Akira Kurosawa's Throne of Blood, which is his version of Macbeth, and a really underrated film from the 80s starring Timothy Hutton called Daniel, where he's the son of Jewish activists who were executed because they were accused of being communists in the 1950s. Really understated film directed by Sidney Lumet. Do we have Chris Lloyd audio as well? Some more of that? You don't have it ready?
No, I don't have it ready.
We've got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
No? Okay. I guess we'll get to Dead People We Like because we're
doing our the annual show of Dead People We Like.
There's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like.
No, we never do. And this one goes out to Mike Perry. I know he couldn't be here today. I hope his mom is doing well. But this is usually right up his alley, as is mine. Actress Melody Patterson. Passed away on August 20th at the age of 66. She's best known for playing Wrangler Jane Thrift in F Troop in the 1960s. And if you Google image, Kobe, you're going to want to. But she also did a little bit of TV, but noted she was an uncredited teenager in Bye Bye Birdie. She starred in The Angry Breed, The Immortalizer, Blood and Lace. She also starred in the Bruce Dern biker movie Cycle Savages from 1969, but she has a special place in many guys' hearts in the 1960s as our favorite Wrangler in F Troop. And then as I found out, because we were kind of concerned that she's listed as being 66 when she died. We're like, no way, she was on F Troop. Apparently, she was underage when she worked on F Troop.
Oh.
I feel icky now.
Well,
so.
Maybe you don't know. Everyone fudges.
We didn't now.
Everyone fudges their ages a
little
bit.
Well, yes, we know she fudged
their
age, but we're like, oh boy. Anyway, there you go. All right, do we have some words to live by?
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Oh, very nice. 25 years ago this week. If we had time, we'd talk more. Melissa, thanks for coming out. Have fun this weekend in Shelbyville.
Thanks.
And go check out Mistress America and the Diary of a Teenage Girl. And not just Melissa, everybody. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We miss you, Stevie.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.